on May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
And now,
it's time for
Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
It's us again.
Hi, Mike Sweeney.
I'm Jesse Gaskell.
And welcome to Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
Yeah, it's the only podcast, as far as I know, that takes you behind the scenes of the Conan show.
I think I, you know, man, if there are other people doing this, I will be angry.
Fuckers.
Man, that,
yeah, the nerve.
It would also be sad.
Yes.
Very sad. If people
and if they were doing better than ours.
I want in on that piece of the pie.
But yeah, we're taking you behind the scenes about the show,
right.
the empire,
yeah.
the legend,
the small
the
villages,
myth. Yes,
on the outskirts of the empire. We cover it all here on Inside Conan. I just like saying Inside Conan.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's something you can be an expert about. It's a TV show. All right.
So today we have an interview with a Conan alum.
Yeah, he's here today because he's doing a sketch on the show.
Yeah, and we love him.
We love him very much. He was a writer for the show. And
was a writer, has gone on to bigger and better things.
Oh boy, yes.
Has left us all behind
oh boy,
in
yes.
the dust.
Oh boy, yes.
Yeah, Dionne Cole.
Dionne Cole, we love him.
This was quite an epic interview.
It was.
I learned a lot.
It was pretty epic. It delayed the start time of our show. He almost missed doing the sketch.
Yeah.
Because he was yakking to us. It was
but
fun.
I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Here it is. You're doing a sketch on the show today.
I am. This is great. Yeah. I haven't done one in a while. You know,
yeah, it's kind of fun to come back and
do
small
I've thought
time.
Of several. Yeah. I've thought
oh, really?
Of several. Oh, yeah.
Is that true?
Anything that happens in the news, I think of something.
You know, you could fax those in.
Yeah.
Right?
You know what? You talk a good game.
I have to be able to come do it, too.
That's
and,
right.
And that's sometimes
and you're
the
too
problem.
Busy to actually,
I mean, I'm
yeah.
going to say all that, but, yeah. you know, sometimes, sometimes I can't make it.
You're so busy. Like I was worried you were just going to go, I'm not doing it.
No.
Oh, I know.
Wait, but you're in the building for the next 2 hours.
Nah, nah, no. Yeah, but I got popcorn.
I trapped him by the popcorn machine.
You call me at the popcorn. That was my sanctuary when I was here. That popcorn kept me going. Yeah.
yeah. But yes. tell us, you had some notes about the popcorn. You thought it was too
salty. It was too salty. Yeah, yeah, it was real salty. I don't know who was mixing that, you know, but it's always been like that. Yeah.
How do you know he had notes about the popcorn?
Because we're
what?
Connected.
You know, we text.
Yeah. Well, he had notes about the cherries in right now that he shared only with me prior to this podcast.
This was
so
a gotcha
we're really
moment.
Connected. I mean,
I wanted to see how you would react.
Phone goes off.
Well,
popcorn is too goddamn salty.
You know what? I took the bait, and I'm jealous.
Yeah.
Great.
Sweeney.
Oh, Dionne, baby.
So here we have some interesting dynamics because, Sweeney, you were Dionne's boss when Dionne was a writer here at
Sure,
Conan.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And Dionne was my boss when I was a writer on Black Box.
How crazy is this?
And you are the boss.
Yes, you
and
are.
Now I'm your, not really your boss anymore. I'm no one's boss.
You're kind of my boss.
Yeah.
Look, you have. You,
but I can call
I
people.
I have two allegiances here, though, and I'm not sure where my loyalties lie.
I would go with Dionne.
No.
He's the Old Spice man. He can get you products.
Yeah.
And whatever you come to me with, I'm going to go to him. he's still all above everybody's boss. Right?
Me?
I
never had less influence in
I remember when I first start really working with him, I used to tell people about him. I used to be like, man, they'd be like, well, how is it working there? When I first started working at Conan, I'd be like, how is it working now? I used to be like, it's okay.
That's right.
I said, but it's this one dude that's hilarious. And I'm not going to even lie. I used to be like, this one dude's one, he's hilarious. And they'd be like, who is he? I'd be like, I think he like the head writer or something. I'm not sure. But like, he like really funny though.
You still don't know my name.
I'm just like, I don't know who he is, but he's hilarious. We all check into him. That's all. Like, whatever.
But you were still unclear about the hierarchy.
Oh, I was so unclear. Oh, I was so unclear.
And you were worried it would get back to me. So you're like, oh, yeah, he's hilarious. Ho, ho, ho.
I did. I used to be like, man, I was like, dude, it's funny. Like,
I remember you telling us that Sweeney was, that he was basically hard AF. You were like, that guy Sweeney's hard.
As far as like what?
That you just were saying that he, like, that he went there in terms of, I remember you telling us about, or he would make jokes about things that, like, taboo things.
Oh, no. Never Sweeney. Never said that about Sweeney. No. Sweeney was always clever, super clever. Like, everything he did. Sweeney going to party.
You know, I'm right here. I can contradict
you. He could
you.
Talk to 16 people at once and not all together. Like,
it's just, not well.
Like, it's just all over the room. Sweeney plays the room well. Sweeney's somebody. I'm telling you, next time you're at a party with Sweeney, just watch Sweeney in the party. Just grab you a plate full of appetizers and watch Sweeney. It is amazing how he does it.
Which Sweeney is it? This is not
Mike
me.
Sweeney. Okay. Mike Sweeney. Right. I'm telling you.
Well,
one of the most fascinating, fascinating guys.
I agree with you on that. I'm serious.
Very fascinating. Yes.
But maybe
we should. We've got to get you guys. Please, let's.
We should go back for the listener and explain a little bit of how Dion came to work with the show. Because it's kind of a magical trajectory. You started as you did stand up on. Was it on Late Night or on the Tonight
Show? No, on the Tonight Show.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
The Tonight Show. Yeah.
When you let Senor Fascinatio talk. Sorry.
Fascination. No. Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Tonight Show.
No, yes. You go ahead.
No, I don't.
Go, Swings. Go.
You know what? Dion will speak in my behalf.
Oh, no.
Yes, it was the Tonight Show.
Yes, it was.
Go ahead.
Tonight and then Show. we're offered a job as a writer based on how much you killed.
I guess. I still really don't know the total everything about that.
Yeah.
To this day, I don't. I really know. I just know after I finished, my manager called me and was like, I think they want you to like come over there and write. And I was like, write what? I was like, what they want me to write? Like, what? And they was like, come over there and write. I'm like, write? I'm like, really? Like, right? Still couldn't understand it. I'm like, I got these NACA shows that I have to do because it's this
NACA
thing called
NACA is for college.
NACA
right?
is college. Like, you'll go to this audition where it's like 1,000 representatives from all these colleges all over the country,
region,
and you perform, and then they all choose you to come to their school. So I had won like probably like 350 schools.
Wow.
I was like about to tour and hit it, and then they was like, "Yeah, you should come around." And I was like, "Dang!" I don't know if I'm gonna do that, like, cause I want to do these shows. And then my manager was like, "No, you have to go over there." And I was just like, "Well," and this is real. I was like, "I'm gonna stay over there for probably like 2 weeks." I'm not even lying. I was like, I'm gonna stay over there for about 2 weeks, see how it go, and then if it don't feel right, then you know I'm just gonna leave. And that first week, I was like, I'm definitely out of here. because I wasn't used to waking up at seven in the morning, being somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Because I was a comic. I was a late night comic. I went to bed at 7 a.m. and I didn't like be nowhere. And then when I came here, it wasn't like I fit in or nothing. Like, everybody was like, It was people that went to, like, I think Brown University.
No one.
Emmy award winning writers and all these guys. I was sitting up like, that was so intimidating. I was just like, oh my God. Like, I couldn't write nothing.
Well, and had you ever?
Because I tried to write like everybody. Yeah. I tried to write like that and I couldn't write like that. I just was like, man, like, I just was uncomfortable. Like,
had you ever written material for somebody else?
I wrote for Ricky Smiley. Okay. Ricky Smiley. Comedian Ricky Smiley. I wrote for him for he was hosting this thing called Comic View. I wrote for him, and then I wrote my own sketches with a friend of mine in Chicago. We was doing sketches and stuff, and so I knew how to write a sketch, you know, because I was doing it. And plus at Second City, we had this group called Forgotten City in Chicago, so we was doing sketches there. So I knew how to write a sketch, but I just wasn't.
But not in Conan's voice.
Not in Conan's world. And it was just like, yeah. I remember calling my one of my friends, and they was like, yo, so how, you can't curse on here, right? So
yeah,
Yeah. So they was like, how is that shit? I was like, man, this shit ain't for me. I was like, we ain't got nothing in common over here. And so he was like, so when you leave? And I was like, I'm going to probably give it another week, and then I'm out. I was like, I'm just going to hang around for a minute. So I came to work, and
then you got the paycheck.
No. I didn't even care about
that. The parking spot.
I just was like, nope, I didn't care about that. I'll tell you what happened.
You heard a clever voice.
Oh. Yo, Erica Brown?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Erica Brown came to my office to give me my business cards. And she was like, here's your business cards. And I was like this. I said, you can sit them on the desk. And she looked behind her, because that's what black people do when uh-huh. they're about to say something racist. They look behind you. And she was like, yo, we need you in that writer's room. They ain't never had a black person over there. You got to be in there. You got to represent us. And I was like, bitch, don't you put that on me.
I know.
Don't you put that on me like that.
Too
like,
late.
Don't you do it. And I was like, I understand. I was like, but look, I don't even know if it's for me. She was like, you got to do it. And then she was like, bye, and she left.
Oh, my God.
And I was just like, yo, you
can't
do this.
And you just stared at those business cards.
No, I just sat there like, yo, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And then Chris Hayes came in my office.
Our IT, head of IT.
Right? Head of IT here. And he was like, man, I need to put your computer together. And I said, okay.
And then
I saw him looking around. And I said, you bet not, motherfucker. You bet not. And he was like, you got to. I was like, no, don't.
I don't know
do
if Erica's come to see you.
I don't know if Erica's come. I was like, don't do that to me, man. And he was just like, no, I'm serious. Just, man, you got to represent us.
Wow.
And I was like, God damn.
That's
and
a lot of weight.
That was the reason that kept me here. That was the first reason that had me go, I'm going to stay another week.
Wow.
I said, I'm going to stay another week. And I sat and I waited. And then it kind of went on a little bit longer. And I just didn't feel right. And then one day, and this was the game changer. We were in a writer's session, and they were telling us about, they were writing a sketch for Andy, and it was called Oktoberfest. And they was like writing a sketch, and they were asking everybody if they wanted to chime in. And I was like this. I said, what's Oktoberfest? And I believe it was Swedes. And it was like, yo, they was like, you don't know what it is? I'm like, no, it was a German drinking day. And I was like, a German drinking day? And I was like, that's fucked up. And then I think somebody was like, what? I was like, everybody got a goddamn drinking day. You got Mexicans got Cinco de Mayo. Irish got St. Patty's Day. Germans got Oktoberfest. I'm like, well, we don't got no black drinking day. I was like, we need a black drinking day. And right there, Swinney and them was like, write that up.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, what? They was like, no, write that up, mm-hmm. write that up. And I was like, I really don't. And Swinney was like, I'm going to come in your office, I'm going to show you. And he showed me another script. And he was like, use this as your template. And I looked at it, and we wrote it all down. And actually, Swinney typed it up for me, typed it, and we sent it. And then we were sent it for Conan to say it. And Conan was supposed to say it. And then rehearsal, I believe it was in rehearsal or before rehearsal, Conan read it and was like, nah, let him do it.
Yeah.
And it was like,
because it was in your voice.
So now I'm like, what? Like, what the fuck? Like, yo, like, how I'm going to do it? And they was like, come out of the curtain and do it. And I was like, oh, shit. Oh, man. Like, are you serious? Like, yeah. And
meanwhile, I had called Hayes, Erica. I said, it's working. It's working. Here's that money I owe you. Fell for it.
You delivered those lines perfectly.
You delivered. You made him stay. No.
They're not even black.
<You're> not even.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yo, I went out, did it, and man, that shit crushed.
Yes.
Like hard to the point where, like for real, where it was like, yo, like. That felt different. That was something different. That was something new. That was something fun. And it was kind of like, okay. And then sat back. And then I think after that, it was something else that I said something just gingerly, just saying that. It was like, write that up. And I was like, what? Like,
yeah, make Sweeney type it again. You fucker. Yeah, I'll stick around. Sweeney types.
I ain't learned to type for like a year.
No, you're
let's do it. Give it to Sweeney. Sunglasses on. Give it to Sweeney. He'll type it up.
I need to go.
I got
to
go. Yeah. I got to go.
Yo, I'll be back.
That's when he started coming in at 1 p.m.
Have my own popcorn machine.
It'd
be Wednesday. Where's
Yo, and right after that, man, it was just this rhythm that started happening where it was almost like, you know, nobody compromised who they were. And that's how I was feeling at first. I felt like I was compromising myself a little bit, trying to be like everybody else. And then
initially,
right. I'm talking about initially. But like
once it broke, once we found that niche,
and that's what it was.
It was
and we
what
started
the
rolling
show was
with
missing.
It.
Yeah,
man, I remember TV guy. There was this dude named Bruce Fawcett who was a writer, a TV guy, and he wrote up A Star Is Born on TV guy and had my picture and was talking about late night and talking about how Conan got this new weapon. And all this other stuff. And I was like, and I think that was the moment I was like, yo, this is crazy. And then after that, I think we got nominated for writing. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even thinking about Emmys and all of that. That was the furthest from my mind, man. I was like, what? Like, I would have never said I was going to quit if I had all this in mind. You get what I'm saying? Because I didn't have it in mind. It was just my comfortability at the time. I was just like, I don't know. But then, we got nominated for Emmys and all of that. And everything was like, yo, it was great. And then we had to go.
Oh, right. Yeah. I know. That's
I'm the Tonight Show.
I'm like this, though.
Like we,
what?
Right. I know. I was like, what happened next? I'm so excited.
What? What about my popcorn machine? What am I doing with that? Yeah.
We had a popcorn machine over there.
Upstairs. Yep. All the way in the back, right next to the ice cream machine.
Right.
So I think it was popcorn. It wasn't a machine, but it was popcorn.
I don't remember why that all ended, the Tonight Show. But anyway.
And
that doesn't matter.
We'll get to the bottom.
And that was crazy too, because I'm still not knowing that this is like history being made.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just happy that, man, that I found my niche. You know,
and
I was more mad about that. I was like, golly, we finally found a rhythm. And a rhythm that was me. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have to write like nobody else. It became where after a while, it became where they begin to write in my voice.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It became like that instead of me trying to write like them. Yeah. They began writing for my voice. Mm-hmm. And so
everyone was typing for you.
No, but like, you motherfucker. No, but it was, but then it started like I said, it was gelling. And then right at that moment, it was like, it's over. And I was like, golly, how did that happen?
Think of what could have been.
A month later, you were part of the tour.
That's right.
Yo, so then that happened. Yes.
Literally.
Like a phoenix from
within
the ashes.
Within a week of the Tonight Show ending, it was like, let's do a live tour. And then Conan was like, oh, Dion has to be part of the tour. Yo, so you were one of the acts.
One of the closing acts.
Yeah.
Came out and did like 10, 12 minutes at the end of every night. Because right after me, he would come out and play the guitar and do a couple, do another song and then do his goodbyes or whatever.
You were in the, yeah, kind of the middle, towards the end of the show. So yeah, it was kind of like a headlining.
Yeah, yeah. No, I never was headlining because he did a song.
Your words,
and then after that,
mine.
He was like, hey, saying, hey, what's up to people? And I think he brought people on after that. It was a whole closing ending, you know, after that. But after the packages and stuff like that that he played.
And that was fun. That was great. We did 42 cities.
First time ever. Wow. First time ever on a private jet. Let me tell you another funny story.
I had to take a bus.
Yo, he was on there. The first day, I was just like, oh my God, I'm going on a private jet. This is crazy. This is nuts. And no. I packed all my stuff, and I had like this Gucci trolley, and I had this Gucci garment bag, and I had a Gucci backpack. And I remember getting on a plane, like so excited. And it was Sweeney, Andy, Jeff, and Conan. And they all was just sitting there. And they had just little black bags.
Yeah.
Just simple
Samsonite.
Black bag. Just sensible. Just little, sensible. And I got on a plane, and I remember Jeff going like this. Wow, that's some fancy luggage you got. That's yours? Right at that moment.
Had you bought it just for this trip?
I had it already.
Oh, you already had it.
I felt this small because I'm looking at them, and I'm going, damn, all these dudes have millions of dollars. I have $10,000, I think, in my bank account. And I got this, and I lied instantly. I was like, nah, I borrowed this. And he was like, you should ask him if you can keep it. I was like, And I walked in the back, and I was like, I would never carry all this shit again ever in my life.
Oh, wow.
But I sat there.
You learned a lesson, because rich people are very cheap.
I did. And I learned that.
I'd like to clarify. I did not have millions of dollars.
No. Yes, you do.
And I'll throw Andy in that category, too.
You all have millions.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, combined.
Don't let them tell you that they don't have millions.
You mentioned Gucci. Did I hear you say in rehearsal today that you saw Jeff Ross at the Gucci store?
I saw him not only once, I saw him back to back weekend.
Oh my God.
What?
I was in there one weekend, he was there, and I couldn't believe it was him.
In Beverly Hills, I'm assuming?
Rodeo Drive.
The big one.
I don't know, because I'm not a millionaire.
The flagship store, yes.
Yes.
And I'm like, yo, what are you doing here? He was like, what you doing here? I'm like, picking up some shit. Like, what you doing? He was like, I was just looking around. I said,
I
said, okay, cool, Jeff.
What if he had bought the same luggage that you had on the plane?
It was on his to-do list for 6 years.
Yes.
I would have been hugging him, pointing at his luggage. Right? So look, I go back the next weekend.
And
guess who I see again?
Wait, but so what was he doing then?
He was back there.
Did he work there?
I don't know.
Is that his other gig?
I thought he was buying something for him or somebody. He was doing something.
Did he make you sign a non-disclosure? Like, did he say, hey,
he was burgundy in the face.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was like this. Oh, my God, you again. I'm like, what are you doing here so much?
We have to get to the bottom of this.
Where should we send Dion this weekend to find Jeff?
No, it's probably Gucci because Jeff will think there's no way it could happen three times.
Right.
I saw him two weekends back to back, and it was like, what are you doing here?
Will you go to a Bugatti dealership this weekend?
Jeff, what are you doing here?
Please, you're killing me. Just stop going out. You're killing me.
Oh my God.
That's pretty good. That's funny.
Yeah, man. So, and after that, we...
Tour was fun. And then
we came over to TBS. Got the show on TBS.
I want to hear how you and Jesse met. So you're TBS doing great. And then... So great, you got your own pilot to do your own show, which was really funny.
I was doing
called
Black
Dion
Box.
Cole's Black Box.
Black Box, yeah, I was doing Black Box, and that was great. And I love that opportunity, and that was great. But we couldn't see eye to eye, and I wanted to keep going, but they did a commercial that pissed me off for my show. It was a woman with chopping like watermelons with her breasts.
Oh no!
And I just was like, what the fuck is this?
Oh my God!
Because they kept trying to make me a kick in the nut show. They wanted me to be like a Tosh,
Right?
They want to do that shit, but I was doing like topical stuff. We was talking about Amanda Bynes. We were talking
and
about
that was,
shit in the news.
Trayvon.
We were talking about actual stuff in the news, but they kept trying to pitch me as, you know, watch these YouTube videos with Deion Cole. Right. And it was like, yo, that ain't me. That ain't
well,
what
I still tell people, I think it was like a year too early because a year later, that stuff was people were talking about
Let me tell you something, and I say this on the work record. I don't care what he said. John Oliver had me do, he had a stand-up show on Comedy Central called John Oliver Comedians or whatever, and it was like in New York.
I remember that. Yeah,
so I did the show.
Yeah.
And John was a big fan of me from Conan. Like, man, oh, y'all cool. over
That's
there.
That's great.
Man, y'all killing it over there. Man, I love your new show. I was like, Black Box. I was like, thank you, man. He said, man, I love it, man.
I love that lady with the knife breasts.
He was just like, yo, I love it, man. I was like, thank you so much, man. It's fun, man. It's fun. I said, I got a little writing team, a little cast. I said, we were just putting it out. And John Oliver, when I seen his show on HBO, it is the exact same show.
Yeah.
It's the exact same show because he deals with what happened a week prior because that's what we did.
Yeah.
We only had to talk about what happened prior in a week and we discussed it. That was a whole thing to talk about what happened and he did the same thing. I was like, yo, that's crazy that he did with HBO. But yeah, that was something else. But anyway, that relationship didn't pop off like that. So then I was like, you know what? I think it's time for me to kind of like to skate. And I was like, I really didn't want to leave or nothing like that. My mama was sick. My mama was like, why would you leave your health benefits and all that?
No.
That's all they care about is your health benefits. Why would you leave your health benefits and your dental and your vision? Yeah. Why would you leave?
Your pension was about to vest.
Your pension was about to vest. Why would you leave? I was like, I don't know if I can go back on a writing staff having that kind of show and just I don't know what's gonna happen, but I know I'm gonna have to be me doing it and I'm just gonna have to go out there and see what happened or whatever. And right after that, TBS hit me and was like, yo, it's this show Steve Carell's doing called Angie Tribeca.
And you were like, who?
Yeah, I was like, at first I was like,
who about TBS?
And then they was like, yeah, because I was mad at them for what they did to me, what I felt like they did to me.
Because Black Box was on.
Black
TBS.
Box was, and we was, and we was Jess.
Yeah,
we
no,
was, Jesse was a writer
Jess.
On that
I was a writer
show.
Jesse was writing on the show. I loved writing on that show.
It was so fun.
And it was really, I felt like we really had something to say, and it was not something you were hearing anywhere else on TV.
Nowhere on TV.
And I was so proud of it.
And yo, and our ratings was great. Like, we had great ratings. It was, the ratings wasn't even a problem. Like, I remember it was a couple of weeks that we was the same ratings as Conan's was.
Wow.
Because we were, like, right behind Conan. Like, Conan and our show was right behind, and we didn't lose one follower that Conan had. And I was like, this is great.
This is going great,
great. So it never was about none of that. So when they did that, I just was like, eh. But I went and did that, and Steve Carell didn't have a part. They wanted me to be like the black lieutenant that's screaming and stuff, and that's what I went out for. And he was like, I don't want you being a black lieutenant screaming. And I was like, oh, he was like, so we're not going to need you for this show, for that role. And I said, it's fine, it's cool. And he said, but we're going to write you in.
Okay. Oh,
and I just
great.
Was like,
great.
Oh, okay. Oh. And he was like, he was like, so the first year, you might not be that visible, but we're going to figure out what your role is.
Oh,
and
cool.
He was like, so we'll just write a character for you.
Right.
Then 2 weeks later, they was like, you DJ Tanner.
Full House.
Like, that's gonna be your name.
That's really funny.
I was like, wow. And so as I was waiting on that show to pop off, I was sitting around not doing nothing because they took a long time for us to shoot that. And this woman by the name of Tamara Goines was like, hey, this guy named Kenya is putting this show together and he needs a writer. And I said, okay. It's like, I said, what's the name of it? And they was like, it's called Blackish. And I was like, okay. I was like, so what they want me to do? They was like, write for this character named Charlie. And I said, okay. And so I was pitching to him what I think the character should be. And then they was like, okay, fine, cool. Because the character was actually Charlie Murphy. That's why his name was Charlie.
Oh, okay.
It was supposed to be Charlie Murphy. So right when they were about to shoot, Charlie Murphy was like, I don't feel like leaving New York and leaving my kids, so I don't want to do it at the last minute.
Wow.
So Kenya asked me, he said, man, can you play this character?
And
I said, yeah, I'll play it. But I knew I only could play it once. Because I had my deal with TBS.
Right.
So I said, I'll play it.
And then two African Americans on the show came into your office and said, you got to do it more than once, man. And you're like, this whole show's black.
Erica and Hayes? What are you doing over here? Erica and Hayes? Why y'all working on these shows? They're your chorus.
Your Greek chorus.
No, but then after I did it once, they was like, can you do it again? Can you do it again? And then we had this big fight with TBS and ABC.
Oh, like, right, because
you shouldn't
shows,
be over there. It can be over here. So then they allowed me to do, TBS allowed me to do probably like 8-9 episodes, and then I had to come do this. And so out of them 8-9 episodes, it was just like took me somewhere I've never been before.
That must be entertainment.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then.
Were you like, I'm supposed to be two places at once. I'm driving back and forth.
It was crazy.
You had two networks fighting over you.
But it was love though. Like they got along. Yeah. And then after that, then the second season, they started getting along where they was like, okay, you can do these many shows and then you come over here. And then it started really working. Then the third season, I started doing Blackish, Grownish, which is a spinoff of Grownish, and Angie Tribeca. I was doing all three of the shows.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question off of this?
Yes.
Plus, how many live stand-up shows are you doing a year
while doing all this? I was doing...
Because you're out gigging all the time, too.
Well, I had to quit. I had to quit doing stand-up until like the spring, summer.
All right.
So I would push all my dates off until the spring and summer. But I would do some shows if it was just a Saturday night.
Right.
If it was a theater, Saturday night, I would go do the Saturday.
All right.
And then I'll fly back for Sunday in order to do that. But yeah, like that was like my everyday, weekly
run.
Yeah.
No friends, no family, no nothing. Yeah, just
running on fumes.
Just brutal. Yeah, absolutely.
But you got health insurance, I hope.
Yeah,
that was
your mom.
Oh, that's what I told my mother.
Triple coverage.
When Blackish came around, I was like, I got my dental. Yeah. She was like, praise Jesus.
Finally.
Thank you so much.
Finally.
You do have beautiful teeth.
Thank you. Yes.
We'll be back with more Dion after this break.
I do want to ask Dion about something that I remember from working at Black Box, which was, do you remember when you were on an all-carrot diet?
Yes.
I've heard this.
Yo, yes.
Yeah. Can you tell us how that started?
I just was trying to eat something that I wouldn't get fat on. And so.
And was that because you were now on camera all the time? So
yeah,
you were, like,
so I was trying
like
to like really like stay lean and so I just was eating carrots, and then I turned orange.
this is another good PSA.
This is real shit. Like, we was in the writer's room one day at Conan. I turned orange one day. I was just in there, and I was licking my hands. And I just freaked out in there like, I'm orange. And everybody was like, what? Then they looked, and they was like, whoa, no fucking way. Like, I'm orange. I literally... Because, like, a baby, if you feed a baby too many, like, carrots or peas, they'll turn.
Yeah.
Like, I actually turn orange.
Oh, it just makes... Because I remember that, like, that was kind of... It was that turn from, like, okay, I'm on the show sometimes, so now I'm a host. So you have to worry about being in shape.
Yeah.
And what you're eating.
Worry about being orange. Things like basics.
I didn't think that, like, grown-ups can change their color like that. So that tripped me out.
But you were eating a lot of carrots.
I was eating a bag a day. Like, that was crazy. But that was all I knew to eat at the time because everything else was just so fattening and stuff. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember that.
Dan Cronin came by and started singing Halloween songs.
But just off the
that
Thriller
was a stretch.
Album.
We'll cut that.
One time when we was on tour, I drank up all the liquor in the mini bar.
In Vancouver.
Vancouver.
Yeah.
Drank up all the liquor in my mini bar. Drank it up. Actually, I had... Yes.
Aaron Blair.
I was there for that. Yes. Yeah. This was, can I just say, so I played the Masquerading Baron tour, and Dion was killed every night. It was so fun. And we were all, we were in Sweeney's room, I remember. And then it was like, okay, well, you know, most of everyone is going to bed. And Dion's like, come on back to my room. I'm like, all right, this is awesome. Like, yeah, Dion's amazing. I go back to his room. And we're staying, he's staying in a very nice hotel. And I had never touched a minibar in my life at this point. Never. Like, brought up to never. And Dion's like, come on. Opens the minibar. I don't remember. Like, it was a really nice hotel. Mm-hmm. And just goes, tuk, 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 and pulls everything out. And I was like, I was horrified, and then it was crazy. It was unbelievable. And then we drank a bunch.
We drank,
and then I have to get up at 8 a.m. Yeah. and you get to sleep all day because you're performing.
I remember you were leaving.
Didn't have to show up till 7 p.m.
Yeah,
he was like, "Dion, I can't keep doing this. I'm gonna go. Like,
please,
I'm gonna go. I gotta go.
One more. Let's do it.
Yeah, it did.
That was one of the best nights of my life.
Yeah, yo,
so
we
fun.
Kicked it so hard.
So fun.
So when I woke up and I noticed all of the liquor was gone, and I noticed how much that
it's
cost.
Like $2,000.
Oh, it was the stupidest. So I went out to the liquor store and I bought a whole bunch of little mini bottles and replaced them.
That's so smart.
Didn't you walk all over Vancouver?
I walked all over Vancouver.
To find all those bottles. Yeah, so it took you all day.
Probably like 3 hours, two and a half hours. And then a lot of places I was going to, the stores weren't open yet, so I had to like leave, go to another store, and then come back to the store. But I got everything except for a Snickers.
Oh, that's amazing.
And a Hennessy.
You should have just come back to my room. I'm a millionaire. I had the cash. I would just give you the money. Boom, you're back in business.
Why didn't I think of that? I should have been like, Sweeney got $1 million.
Yes. I mean, he's ready. I got
to borrow some money.
Well, and drinking all the liquor out of a mini bar makes me think of a scene from a movie, the movie Flight. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Flight. Oh, yes, I do. Yes.
There's that scene where Denzel Washington drinks. He's a recovering alcoholic. It's the best scene in the world.
Yeah.
I watch just this scene sometimes on YouTube because it's so good.
But I thought you were bringing up something else.
I was going to, yeah. Oh. Well, I don't know. I've only heard this story secondhand, so I feel like one of you needs to tell it.
Yeah, when the movie Flight came out with Denzel Washington, I was like, yo, the scene with the plane going upside down, I was like, this shit looks epic. I'm going to see this shit. And I was fucking around with probably about 5 women at the time. And I had to go see that shit 5 times.
In one weekend.
I was sitting in that
motherfucker. Because were you getting texts like, oh, are you going to see Flight with me this weekend?
And I had to go see it.
Of course.
I saw it 5 times in one weekend.
And you pretended it was the first time.
I was in there like this. And I towards the 4th time, I was like, whoa, that's crazy.
Did you at least change the movie theaters where you were worried? They're like,
I went all over Los Angeles. Yeah, I went all different. Yeah, I went to all the different theaters. Woodland, Sunset.
Why are we driving 30 miles out of our way? We've passed 3 flights. No. This theater has the best seats.
I'm tired of going to that theater.
What's crazy? You saw Jeff Ross at all of those.
Jeff, what are you doing here?
Keep it
wearing
under
a Gucci scarf.
Just don't tell anybody.
Yeah, man. Great times, man. Here. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
And at the movie Flight.
Yeah, and the movie Flight.
Well, now also on tour, Gus, who is a legendary tour manager.
Yes.
I mean, just for all these big rock bands.
Foo Fighters.
And then we got him for our lame stand, our comedy tour.
Yeah.
And I had never dealt with someone like that, but you could tell he's used to dealing with rock bands.
Oh, yeah.
And he makes those trains run on time.
Yes, he was a
And
bullshit.
You were late exactly once for the morning band. I was late once, and I thought, He barely said anything to me, and I almost cried. And then I remember what, do you want to tell what happened?
Yeah, go ahead.
We were in the lobby, and I think we had to meet at 8:45, and I think it was in Seattle, and he's like, "Where's Dion?" And we're like, "I don't know, I haven't seen Dion." And he's like, he goes, "I'll be right back. Everyone else, get in the van." And so then...
he kicked in my door, like, "Yo! Get downstairs now. We're all downstairs waiting on you." I'm like...
And you were in bed, right?
Yeah, I was knocked out. My head was this way, body that way.
Aaron was there.
Many bottles everywhere. I'm like, yo, he just scooped everything up, put it in my bag, and we walked out. Didn't brush my teeth, didn't wash up, nothing. I just came right down like... bloodshot red, smelling like many liquors.
Yep. And that was it. Never late again.
He was so serious though.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he was like, yo,
terrifying.
At this time.
When he was business, he was really serious.
But when it wasn't business, sweetest guy on planet.
Very sweet. But very impressive.
Yeah.
And if you asked him anything like, "Hey, you know, what time is sound check tomorrow?" And they gave you this Bible for the tour. Mm-hmm. If any sentence was in that Bible, and if you dared ask something that was in that book, it was like, read the book.
Did you read?
Read the book and get the fuck out of my face. Okay, Gus, you got it, buddy.
Yeah, man. Anything you want to know, he had it typed up in this book. Yep.
You
had to read the book.
You motherfucker.
I was telling him, get Sweeney, he'll type it. He likes to type things.
I'll do it for you, Gus.
Yeah, man. Great times, man.
Aww.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I will say you're missed around here.
Man. Oh, God.
We always love
when you're here.
Yes, we do.
Love being here. Yeah. And I drop stuff. If I can drop it, I will. I drop a dime, man. I come through all the time, man.
You do.
I learn so much here, man, that I use on an everyday basis with anything, any project I do, anything, you know. I'm constantly telling people less is more, get to the funny. You got to get to the funny. Just get to the funny. I learned that here, you know. I learned every moment can be magical. If every moment was magical, we wouldn't have magical moments. I learned that.
I haven't learned that
Conan
yet.
Conan told me
what
that.
Show is this?
Conan told me that. It's like, yo, every moment.
I never heard get to the funny either. Yeah, that's
I remember, I go by
no rush to the funny. Maybe in 3 weeks.
You're like, this is why Dion's more successful.
No, seriously. We used to say that. The writers room used to be like, man, like, let's just get to the funny. Let's condense it. Let's get to the funny. Like, I just remember
shorter,
that, you know. Yeah. Short is better, you know. So you know, it's a fearless atmosphere over here, you know, and it prepares you. You really don't know how prepared you are until you like leave here and go somewhere else, and then you go, oh,
I got shit. This. Yeah, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, like yo, because here, it's being able to take the no. That's the job to me. Is the no.
Right.
Is the nah. That,
and you
nah,
definitely
that
get
don't.
Used to hearing
oh, no. Oh, yeah. Nah, that nah, that don't work. No, that don't work. No, that don't work. Mm-hmm. If you get used to that and don't let your feelings get involved, then you're going to be straight. I remember one time I wrote this bit for Conan where I wanted him to wear a new suit. You know, Steve Harvey kind of suit.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I went and had like 50 suits that I like rented to come out, and I had this suit where I had Scott and them put lights in the suit, so when he put the jacket on, it lit up.
It was great.
Yeah, it was funny, and he was like, "Nope," and I was like, "All right, let's get these suits out." All right, let's get all these suits. The guy who brought the suits, he's like, "You don't want the suits?" I'm like, "Look, thank you very much for coming, and you have some wonderful suits." Scott was like, "You don't want the suit?" I'm like, "Nah, we can't."
But you wear the light up suit now. And,
yeah, that works out. Dion Cole, turn the lights out. I was like, "Come with suit on." Nah, yeah, man. But yeah, if you can take the no, that's the job, is taking the no. It's not all the success. It's taking the know and learning from it.
That's a really good lesson.
It is a good lesson.
Yeah,
and also I think you are inspiring in the way that you've trusted your gut about things, and you knew that you, rather than try to conform to fit into a certain situation, you were like, I have to find a way that this works for me, being me and not changing.
Absolutely. And having people to believe in you too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's people have to believe in you and see that you're like authentic. Because to be honest with you, I don't care. In my whole career, anything I've ever auditioned for, I never got. To this day, I've never got it. I've always dealt with people who felt a certain way about me and took a chance on me. To this day, like Conan, there wasn't no auditioning. I got this. Steve Carell, I auditioned for a role, didn't get it.
They wrote you a different one.
Kenya and them, they was like, somebody dropped out, and they was like, yo, can you do this? The Old Spice people was like,
You were taking a shower.
I was taking a shower.
And they're like, wow.
We like his shower take.
We really like
the way he takes showers.
Look at him with the sponge.
Yeah. Look at that lather. So it's always been these moments where people just been like, yo, but anything I audition for, I never got, because people have certain people in mind for certain things that they write, and they go, we want that person. Well, if you're a person that is unique in your own way, they ain't gonna never think of you to be a part of this, because they didn't think of you. So they're not going to use you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's been my whole thing, my whole career, is that, you know, that I'm nothing that you going to, like, probably, and I ain't not in no conceited way, just the way I, you know, execute what I do is like, it might be different than
because you don't fit cliches in a lot of ways, so it's.
Well, the good thing is you're out doing a lot of stuff. So, so the audition process may not be as critical for you, because a lot of people see what you do and it does spark.
Before that, I still audition. Like, I auditioned just recently for this horror movie, and they was like, nah. And I was like, well, I get it. I was like, I'm not going to be that black dude with no mustache walking around and sitting up, kicking it, and acting
no
like
mustache. That cliche.
I don't like that shit. No. Any black man without a mustache, I don't trust him.
Would you want to be in a horror movie, though? Is that, like, what
that
are the things
my,
that are
is,
kind of
that
in your
is my,
goal,
that
your
is
board?
My vision board.
Oh.
If I can get in a horror movie,
like, can you give an example? I will
cry.
Like, when you think, what kind of horror movie? Let's
just
throw this
whatever,
out there.
Whatever horror movie there is, if I can be in a horror movie, I will cry. Like, cry.
Oh, my God. Let's write like a horror movie
like
for
Dion. Like a large horror movie. Like, I would love that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Always wanted that, you know. And I just auditioned for one, and they was like, nope. I was like, all right, it's all good. But I think the way that these casting directors and producers are, I look at it like it's almost like shopping, you know, where you got a blue suit and you need some blue shoes, and you're looking for shoes, and you might see these green shoes.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go with your blue suit, but they really look nice. So you're going to remember them, but you're not going to get them for this suit. And then you'll go get these blue shoes for this suit. But then you'll be like, you know what? I remember these green shoes that I had. And you might go get a whole new suit just to go with these shoes. So that's how I kind of look at the situation. I go, maybe I'm just a green pair of damn shoes.
Your shoes.
You know, because they do remember me. You know, and they'll come back later on or something like that. But yeah, but as far as like the initial audition for something, never got it ever. Man. So,
well, there is going to be a horror movie written.
Yeah, that would be great. You. Just keep, man. I promise you, I would love to be.
Yeah,
in that.
And
aliens.
Keep your mustache.
Anything. Yeah, and I'm gonna keep my mustache.
he's black and with a
come
mustache.
Come on, man. Let's make history. A black man with a mustache
in a horror movie. It can happen.
It can happen.
Well, right. Dion, thank you so much.
Yeah,
I know we have to let you go because the show's going to start.
The show, you're in a sketch.
I think it started. Did you start already?
I'm supposed to be in the mono meeting.
Yeah, you are.
Ah, fuck you.
Hey,
we're talking about horror movies.
Hey. No, thank you all.
Thanks
for being here.
That was Dion Cole, and now he's running out to the studio.
Yeah.
Hopefully in time to do the sketch they rehearsed.
I know. Conan will be very mad if we are preempting the show for our podcast.
It's probably not a good precedent to set.
Yeah. But no, that was awesome. And we also have some updates on...
Big update.
Yeah, on the big... I know that you were all waiting with bated breath.
I think the word is people were enthralled by us mentioning the different sodas on the different floors of our office.
The soda discrepancy.
And we have a follow-up.
We do. Yeah. So we met with the person who orders the soda. We went straight to the horse's mouth.
Yeah, we didn't mess around.
And we found out what's going on. We're here with Nick Centofante.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you for having
Thanks
me.
Thanks for coming, Nick. Yeah, what's pleasure. Your Thanks official title on the show?
I guess I'm the office coordinator / intern coordinator. Yeah, I guess that's the best way to say it.
You kind of have a lot. You're a Renaissance man on the show.
Yeah, I kind of have. Yeah, I kind of do a few things. Yeah,
a lot of. We wear a lot of hats.
Sure. Yes. That's one way to say it. Sure.
The Renaissance was known for its many reception desks. Right. So you fit right in.
Exactly.
Right out of Florence. But yes, thanks for walking the 100 feet to do our show.
Of course.
Of course. Appreciated.
I'm thrilled.
So.
But you got embroiled in a little bit of a kerfuffle.
Sure.
Right.
Sure. Yeah, you could say that. So one of the things I do, although a very small part of what I do, is I click a button and then groceries appear here at the show. It's literally an order that's always set, basically.
It's the same order.
Basically, yeah. I mean, there's a few changes over the years, but it's like the big order of groceries, I hit buy, and then it comes here. The problem is that
I was just going to back up for a second because we teased this last week.
Oh, okay.
But there was an email that was sent out that was sort of highlighting the disparity because we've started, there's been some talk about a disparity between second floor snacks and third floor snacks.
Sure.
The second floor being where Conan's office is, Jeff Ross, the executive producer, some other, you know, heavy hitters on the show.
Talent department.
Talent department. And then the third floor is where the writers, the grumpiest people alive are.
Sure.
So
the people born to notice slights.
Yes, exactly. And read into every possible interaction.
Absolutely.
As the world being against them.
Being maligned.
So somebody sent out an email that showed that the second floor has they have Coke Zero, the real thing. And then the third floor has a Vons brand signature select zero calorie soda.
Correct.
Vons is a supermarket chain here in Southern California.
Yeah, I guess it is regional.
Yes.
So then there was a flurry of email activity after that, and we wanted to bring you in because you were kind of in the middle of it, and we didn't get to hear your side of the story.
Right. Yeah, I appreciate that. First of all, when the email chain was happening, I myself was actually at jury duty.
Oh, no.
So I'm seeing all this happen, and I'm just in the waiting room laughing to myself about all this.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Were you picked for a jury?
You know what? I had to reschedule, so we will find out in April.
Okay.
So stay tuned.
So you had to go in, and you had to push it back?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was a big thing. It was terrible. So, but anyway, so
nicely handled.
So you were already
the same way you handled the sodas.
So you're already having a terrible day.
Wasn't a great day. It, you know what? It also was my birthday, and that is completely true.
You're kidding.
It's completely true. Yes.
The Ides of March is your birthday.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Pi Day.
March 15th.
No, 14th. Yeah, it was the 14th.
Fuck me.
So anyway, so the email comes out. I'm reading it. I wanted to see who was going to respond, and it was just this whole thing. But of course, and you may have mentioned Jeff Ross, our executive producer, chimed in, and he rarely chimes into a everybody. So it was a big deal to see him have any opinion on the matter.
Or even read our emails.
Correct. Yeah. So I guess it's proof that he reads all of them. So everyone be careful what you're saying. So that was funny. And then I think Conan was in the air at that time, and he mentioned I think he chimed in
as
well.
He was in Milwaukee.
Yeah, or he was interviewing Michelle Obama.
Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
But took the time out
from
the First Lady to chime in on this controversy.
Yeah. So it was a big deal, and so I was feeling the heat a little bit. But the truth of the matter is when you – the way the system works is since I do – we order a ton of stuff. I mean, we get a ton of groceries here. If something is out of stock, then unless I say otherwise, Vons will just substitute in something.
Right.
Right.
So that we still get something to enjoy.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how all of the generic sodas ended up on the third floor, I do not know.
Does Vons say, make sure these go to the third floor?
These
are they that good?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the only thing I can't really back up. I don't know exactly how that went down.
Someone decided to.
Yeah, because that would be the interns that.
Yeah, generally the groceries come in on Mondays. The interns will take them and distribute throughout, everywhere.
It could have easily happened in reverse, the Vons ending on second.
Sure, except it never has.
I like to think it could end up that way.
Yes, theoretically.
I think if
like
we keep
a penny
going,
landing on its edge.
Exactly.
When you flip it.
Well, so yeah. So I think that this can maybe all be chalked up to a misunderstanding. Yeah. However, I also was curious if people give you special requests and or feedback about the particular snacks.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, I do get the feedback, and I would like to go on record to say that I really don't care about it too much. I got to be honest. I try to get everything.
Just say you don't give a shit.
I mean, it's such a small thing that I do. It's that I have the credit card that buys the groceries. Right. And I do have a lot of other things that I'm dealing with. So the groceries tend to find their way towards the bottom of my priority list. But
you have bigger fish to fry.
Sure.
Ooh,
yeah, yeah.
Fish would be nice.
Yeah, we can get some fish. Do you have any? Yeah, we'll take requests now, I guess. But no, sometimes I do. I mean, there's some things that I'll do. If you catch me as I'm actually clicking purchase, then maybe I'll be able to just add something in there. But yeah, I can't take requests. I mean, that's crazy. There's so many people here.
Yeah.
It would be a madness. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for clearing that up, Nick. And
yeah,
I'm sorry that you were unfairly maligned on your birthday at duty.
Yes, terrible. Terrible you went through that.
Nobody, he didn't know that. Nobody. It was fine. It's okay.
But it will definitely happen again.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
It's going to. I wish I should care a little bit more. Everyone seems to, it matters to a lot of people. I think you have the right attitude.
Yeah, I think it's good. You're never going to make everyone happy.
It's impossible.
So I think it's really good not to care.
Okay. Well, then there you go.
I'll continue down that path.
If I have the Sweeney approval of that, then that's
do not care.
Keep it up. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
That's our show.
Yeah.
Wow, that went fast.
I mean, I still feel like there's going to be more on the soda front.
Oh, yeah. That's.
I don't think that this is over.
People aren't going to stop drinking soda.
No, but there will this controversy will continue. This is going to be
you know how to hook listeners.
Mueller investigation.
More soda talk. I'm going to be in for next week too.
We'll release a full report.
They're talking soda again, guys. Gather around. Also, John Mulaney was on.
Yes,
and the show ran really extra long because Conan and John were having a great time.
Yes,
they
when they
love
those
each
two,
other.
They do.
So
I can't tell if it's like a narcissist thing, you know, looking at their own reflection, or if it's
interesting,
or true homoerotic love.
I prefer to think of it as homoerotic love.
Yes.
All right. And
it went so long that most of the interview actually had to get cut out of the show and is online.
Yeah. So check it out on teamcoco.com. And if you have a question for us, email us at insideconanpod@gmail.com or call and leave us a voicemail at 323-209-5303. You've sent us some great questions.
Yeah. The questions have already come in and I was reading them.
They're great.
They are. Yeah. And there was no hate mail, which I really appreciated.
No hate mail, no swearing.
Thank you, because we're very sensitive.
No people I owe money to. And we're excited to get them, and we're answering some of them on the next week's episode.
That's our show.
That's our show.
That's it. It always goes by so fast.
It goes very fast.
For us, at least. I don't know about the listener.
That's their problem.
Yeah. If you got this far, that's on you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye, we like you.
Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast, is hosted by Mike Sweeney and me, Jesse Gaskell.
Produced by Julia Smith and Kevin Bartelt.
Engineered by Will Becton.
Mixed by Ryan Connor.
Supervising producer is Aaron Blair.
Executive produced by Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross at Team Coco. And Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon at Earwolf.
Thanks to Jimmy Vivino for our theme music and interstitials.
You can rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.
And of course, please subscribe and tell a friend to listen to Inside Conan on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or whatever platform you like best.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.
Life is a highway,
and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.